Hey there! Do you like comic books? Do you like superhero TV and movies? Well, come on over and check out the Capes of Lunatics podcast. We have such shows as Capes of Lunatics and Super Connectivity, where we cover everything new and current and popular in the world of superheroes. And we also have episode-by-episode reviews of the Marvel Netflix shows and a monthly discussion of everything current on the DC Comics character Nightwing. And a few other surprises all the time. So come join us for the Capes and Lunatics podcast.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you are listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are discussing Teen Titans Go! Versus Teen Titans.
Yay.
So, the film was originally made in 2019. It did get broadcast on Cartoon Network in 2020.
Okay.
Yeah, Weird Al Yankovic and Reed Starby show up.
Do they? I didn't even notice.
Reed Starby was the Master of Games, and Weird Al Yankovic was Gentleman Ghost.
Okay, I thought they were both great voices. I just didn't recognize them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why I would recognize Reese Darby. I mean,
I do, but that's because I had Zero for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
The internet is still convinced that I want Zero again.
So what is it? What is Zero?
Zero's an accounting software.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with Reese Darby?
He does all the adverts for them.
Oh, okay. I only know him from Our Flag Means Death.
Right.
So, I don't know if I'd recognise his voice. I mean, I'd recognise the accent, I guess. But, yeah. Like, I'd just assume it was anyone with that accent. So.
Yeah. So, having taken notes, I realised very quickly, this is going to be a really difficult film to take notes for.
Yeah, this is all over the place. All over the place. In some ways in a good way, but I wouldn't want to take notes for this.
So, the way I've ended up doing it is basically having Go character or Titan character.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because and also, it's not before, even like, you can't even go, like, oh, different voice actors. No, it's the same voice actors for each character.
Yeah. So I would just say, before we get into it, in case anyone hasn't listened to every podcast we've done, I have no history with these characters. Like, everything I've seen of Teen Titans or Teen Titans Go has been in these films. So I don't watch any of the cartoons. I've seen none of them. So, like, I have no strange alliances from like what I think about them before this.
Yeah. As for me, I mean, the Teen Titans series came out just about, well, it would have been about the age where it would have just about worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is that kind of, it's aimed at kind of a teenage audience, and I was 13, 14 when it came out. Don't remember it being on. I don't know if it was on TV in the UK. Maybe it was, and I missed it.
Yeah, but I'm not sure, because like, we missed a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel that we missed a lot of stuff, or it was harder to get, or it was on pay-for channels or something like that.
ITV2 or...
Yeah, I think it's why I missed a lot of it. Like, because it's kind of stuff I probably would have watched. But yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people are really passionate about the cartoons. So I just want everyone to know out front that I'm not dissing that or that sort of like their quality. It's just to me that this is almost the first time I'm seeing them, like in the first handful of times I'm seeing them.
I think, Teen Titans and Young Justice both had the same thing, which is people who are fans of them were really, really fans of them. The problem was that not a lot of people, relatively speaking, were.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched a little bit of Young Justice, but not very much, like half the first season.
Yeah.
When it was available, so yeah.
So, the film opens in the Teen Titans Go universe, with the Teen Titans Go fighting Gentleman Ghost.
Yes.
And
he was alright. He could, like, take over people's bodies, which was quite funny, and, you know.
And, yeah, he starts leaping between the Titans, and the third body he leaps into is Raven.
And you always know that's going to be the issue.
Again, just anyone who's not seen... So the Teen Titans are Robin, I think specifically the Dick Grayson version of Robin, Starfire, Raven, Beast Boy, and Cyborg. So, when Raven gets possessed, Gentleman Ghost sees a... he's ankle-deep in blood. You're sitting there going, wow, that is dark for what is ostensibly... Teen Titans Go, in particular, is aimed at a younger audience, I think. Yeah. Well,
it is. It's definitely aimed at a younger
audience. Maybe a tween to early teenage audience,
yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah, it's definitely aimed at a younger audience.
And then it's like, yeah. It's so, we're ankle deep in blood, and Gentleman Ghost finds a safe and decides to open the safe.
Yeah.
And finds a gem. And cracks the gem when he touches it.
Bad news, what you shouldn't do.
And Raven turns into a kaiju and obliterates him.
Which everyone else is really impressed about, and she's horrified, right?
Which you would be, because particularly if you're...
You're sensible and not bloodthirsty other part of the Teen Titans game.
Yeah.
You would be horrified, yeah.
And I think it's as well because it's a ghost anyway. It's like, oh, it's fine. So afterwards, Sir Raven, as we said, being sensible, because as with everything else involving the Teen Titans, Raven is actually the most interesting character.
And I mean, and they keep falling back on that because it's always like she tends to always be the focus of everything.
I think I get the impression it's because, with the greatest deal of respect to all the other characters, Raven's backstory is the one that is most easy to turn into a film. I imagine if you actually watch the TV series,
yeah, that they all
it's
get
a lot
bit more
balanced.
That, yeah. I agree.
But anyway, so. Raven is then visited by Trigon, her dad, who is going, oh yeah, no, that's okay, it's just your inner demon, and, well, I can just take it off your hands.
Yeah, I'll just take it.
You know, it's not like I've been trying to manipulate you to use your power for immense evil or anything.
Yeah.
I'll just help you, because I'm your dad.
Yeah, I love you, and I'll help you.
And Raven refuses the offer. And then Trigon speaks to someone that sounds very similar to Trigon.
Yeah. And that's when you get, we're multiversing.
Yep.
I mean, if you didn't get that from...
The title.
The title of the film, yeah. I mean, you know.
So, meanwhile... this version of Robin, I don't like this version of Robin.
No, I don't. And I wish. And you said it was supposed to be Dick.
I believe that this is meant to be the Dick Grayson version of Robin.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that way. It feels like it's Damien.
Yes, because it's also in the original Teen Titans. Well, the original Teen Titans, which. Because it's strange. Teen Titans Go, it's the same cast. It's the same characters. But obviously the tone is radically different.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is meant to be Robin, because I think the original Teen Titans was 2003, which is before Damian existed, I'm fairly sure.
Right. It just doesn't feel like it, but okay. Okay.
So, Robin is training with a VR headset.
Yeah, this was... And then they play a bit of a dick move. Can I say that? Is that close
they
enough
play a
to
bit
not
of a
swearing?
Grayson move.
Okay.
It's fine. If I can just... if we don't focus on it, it's the same. Like, if you listen to the last episode, ain't Connor says shitty two or three times, and it's like, no, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's fairly low concept.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yes, they interrupt Robin while he's training. There is something arrogant. Oh, the only person that can fight me is myself.
Yeah, which is always... good.
I mean, you could have had a Slade cameo, but okay.
You could have, but it's probably better they didn't. We do not need to add to the chaos.
Uh-huh. Oh, we do get a... later on, we do get a reference to Terra.
Uh-huh.
Which would imply... I don't know if this happened in the TV series, but it certainly implies that the 2003 Titans have done some variant
of that storyline, yeah.
Jews contract. So, suddenly a portal opens and a giant ship appears. And someone with matching powers to the Teen Titans kidnaps the Titans.
Yep. I wonder who this is. Once again, how would we know?
How would we know? And the Go Teen Titans are introduced to the Master of Games.
Who's very much like, there's like a Marvel character that's a bit similar, so.
Yes. And he wants to find the greatest version of every hero. And to demonstrate this, we get to see silhouettes of Batman fighting, and we find out that Kevin Conroy is the best Batman.
Which we knew.
Done.
Right?
So... it also turns out that the people who kidnapped the Teen Titans Go team was the Teen Titans.
Da, da, da.
And it's like the serious. They're going, oh, this is like the serious versions of us.
Yeah, no.
And Robin is very, very keen to fight.
Oh, but Robin's always keen to fight. Well, that's why I kept thinking it was Damian, but okay. All right, but he was very keen to fight, yes.
So, originally, the 2003 Titans are going to go easy on Teen Tentacle, because, it's like hitting a kid almost.
I mean, they are like three times their size.
Yeah. So... immediately, look, Raven and Raven are just kind of staring at each other and talking. Starfire...
I like
Raven,
because Raven's
friends.
Like going, I already have to fight myself in my head. Shouldn't have to fight you. I thought it was quite sweet.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Robin's Cyborgs and Beast Boy are actually kind of getting really engaged. So it ends up with... Raven versus Robin, Cyborg, and the other Raven.
Mm. Yeah.
And so Raven, Teen Titans Go, Raven. You can see already I'm struggling to keep the notes
it's
together.
It's so hard. It's so hard.
Mini Raven, there we go. So
Mini
Raven, goes, fine, you guys win, peace, I'm out. And at this point, Master of Games goes, no, you're not allowed to do that. So, Oh, I forgot to mention my favourite one. Starfire and Starfire have a fun war.
Yeah, yeah. Which, that's really sweet. Mm-hmm. A little bit naff that none of the girls are shown as fighty, but, you know, hey.
So, meanwhile, Big Raven realises, Raven's about, Little Raven's about to crack.
Yeah. Just a funny way of putting it, but yeah.
And then Little Raven demons up.
Yeah.
And eventually the two ravens end up fighting. You see in the background that there is a pyramid that is being fueled by the demon version of Raven.
Yeah.
And just as Big Raven manages to subdue Small Raven and Earth, the pyramid is filled, mostly. And it turns out that the Master of Games is the Teen Titans Go version of Trigon.
Yes.
And that they were battling on top of the 2003 version of Trigon.
Yeah, so then we're fully into multiverse stuff.
And that he has been mostly restored by Raven. Inadvertently.
Yeah.
Though for a chunk of the film, he has only one leg, and that's done as a gag, and it doesn't really mean
it doesn't really work either. Yeah, it doesn't fully work either.
Yeah. So, both sets of Titans are able to escape the dome as it explodes. However, the Trigons get away with the Ravens.
Yes, which is what they really want.
Mm-hmm. And the 2003 Titans say, no, we were threatened. Trigon threatened to destroy our Earth, and that's why we agreed. And then we get a musical number that gets the two teams to work together.
It's all right. I'm getting used to these musical numbers. It's okay.
This one's okay.
Yeah, I agree. The other one, not so much.
And then, meanwhile, we're in hell, and the two Trigons have the Ravens captive. And then we get another musical number about an item called the Whirligog. Which the Go Trigon got from the Titans universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to follow along here. This is where it starts to get complex.
And meanwhile, the Ravens outsmart Trigon by...
Which they always seem to. I mean, he's not, bless him, he's not really, you know...
I do like the idea of the way they trick him is going, don't you just feel like having a drink?
Yeah.
And it is. It's a great scene because you can... It's actually probably the closest I go to... No, that's actually really clever and kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And why can't the rest of the movie be this?
Yeah, for sure.
Or this quality of writing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then they have so many ways that they have to move that, like, explain what's going on. Mm-hmm. That's probably why.
It's one of these weird things of they're trying to keep both tones at the same time.
Yeah, and it's quite hard to,
and it gets
juggle.
Quite whiplashy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, oh wow. I've just realised in the Wikipedia it's referring to the 2013 Titans and the 2003 Titans.
That's very wordy.
So... The Go Titans figure out, right, there must be one of these Whirligogs in our universe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Santa must have it, because in this universe, yeah. Santa exists.
Okay, like, I really didn't understand that leap, and I was just like, why is Santa in this now? And I know they explained, and I still was like, I just don't understand.
The explanation I'm taking is, okay, Santa is a reoccurring villain in special episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing. So they break into Santa's grotto and they have to fight Santa and Megan Claus, who's Mrs. Claus, and lots of elves with cookie Tommy guns.
Mm.
And yes, the serious 2003 Titans do not like this universe. It's too goofy.
It's too goofy. Which, to be fair, I understand that.
Yes, no, I very much. Yeah. Well, I think they even kind of at some point go, no. Even we know that the 2003 Teen Titans is better, but it didn't get ratings, and this did.
Yeah. I mean, it's for whatever you prefer, but yeah. You
know. Yeah. So the Titans are able to break out of Santa's grotto after a massive fight. The two cyborgs combine to turn into a multiversal portal car.
Yeah.
And we get a chase through the multiverse.
Which is pretty fun. This is where it really picks up.
So, yeah, they fly into the DCEU universe.
Mm-hmm.
Then into a more childish Titan universe.
Yeah, the baby one.
And then a bunch of other versions. So an underwater one, a steampunk one. One that appears to be done in the style of a 50s comic book.
Which is great. I love that. That's why I really, like, sat up and went, what? That's amazing.
With, like, comic book pages moving as well.
Yeah, it was really fun.
And look, when you see those characters, they don't speak, they just have dialogue
bubbles. Yeah.
I also love the fact that the second they arrive at the DCAU, they go, oh no, they're even more darky and edgy and serious.
Yeah.
And they also get like a 60s version and a bunch of other universes. They then manage to do the old, we can break and they can't trick. Which means that the Santas crash into a mall in December and get swarmed by kids.
Yes.
There is so many bits of this that suddenly just go, and Eldritch Horror! We've got random pools of blood up to the ankles and army of kids. So, meanwhile, the Ravens have figured out that they are in the 2003 Teen Titans universe.
Mm-hmm.
And just as the rest of the Teen Titans arrive, the two Trigons manipulate the Teen Titans Go Raven to use her powers, meaning that they can absorb her inner demon fully, which turns Teen Titan Go into a super happy, super friendly version of the character who is not being overt about the fact she wants to date Beast Boy.
At all.
At all.
Yeah.
At this point, the two Trigons turn on each other. The Teen Titans...
That's kind of what they do.
Yeah. So the Teen Titans Go version of Triton swallows the other Trigon.
And then they get an idea what to do. Start eating people.
And gets superpowered and becomes Hexagon.
Mm-hmm.
Who is a four-legged, everything is doubled, including, because we end up getting like a prolonged gag of, wait, you have two butts.
Yeah, and then of course they have to make all the little jokes about that.
Yeah. So we then get, and I'm just going to mention that this film was made in 2019, because we get an Avengers Endgame portal moment.
Yeah, well, like I said, so the beginning with the Games Master is very Secret Warsy, so it's been done in Marvel Comics. It just feels like a nice familiar plot to me.
The one thing,
but it's kind of always fun to see multiverse stuff.
The one thing I will mention, because I'm just having a look on here, yeah, this film came out less than 3 months after Avengers Endgame. So I think it's safe to say they're not ripping that off.
Oh, no, I don't think I would. I never thought they were. I mean, like, comics have had multiversal stuff for ages. Yeah. But I think anyone who thought they were is insane about how they think animation works. But yeah.
No, absolutely. So, that said, there is, in a Teen Titans Go episode at some point, because I've seen a clip from this, I think this is more recent,
mm-hmm.
there is a scene where the Teen Titans control a Gundam robot that is made from the DC headquarters, and they fight a version, a Marvel version of the same building.
Mm-hmm.
And the Marvel version uses like all of Marvel hero powers, and the DC one uses these various DC heroes powers, and it's actually quite good. So they do ref. Teen Titans Go does seem to be very self-aware, at least.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the beauties of it, and that's one of the things people like about it, right?
Mm-hmm. So, the fight starts, and at first they are able to kind of effectively damage Hexagon, but it's clear that the only person that can defeat him is Raven.
Mm-hmm.
So, Teen Titans Raven, who in this version is pretty much acting as an adult and a mentor to Teen Titans Go Raven, says, right, I need you to eat every other Raven, because you're the only one that has the ability for your animation to swallow us all. And Raven swallows all the other Ravens, becoming a black magic dragon called the Unkindness.
Which is great.
Absolutely. And the Unkindness and Hexagon fight, and it's a very anime battle. And Hexagon manages to trap the Unkindness's head into a water universe, which I think is actually a clever use of the portals.
Mm-hmm.
Teen Titans Go Robin tries to eat the Warligog to see if that will help. It doesn't.
Yeah, it tries.
However, they are able to destroy the Titans universe version of it, and then distracts Trigon long enough, sorry, Hexagon long enough for the Unkindness to break the gem and re-release Raven's inner demon. Once the demon's pulled out of Hexagon, Hexagon separates. The Titans version of Trigon disappears because he doesn't have energy anymore. And Teen Titans Go Trigon is banished to a multiverse with zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Because random Eldritch horror! Raven then speaks to her inner demon and merges with it. So, because secretly she is the most important character in virtually every Teen Titans film. Literally the only Teen Titans one that hasn't focused fairly majorly on Raven is Judas Contract, pretty much.
Yeah.
So the Titans separate. shaking hands with each other, and the film ends with a tease of, oh, Darkseid appears, but the Teen Titans go off
interested. Yeah, because they are joking about, like, oh, you know, haha, like, maybe there'll be another film. It's so dumb.
Yeah. I mean, there is another Teen Titans Go film.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, they then do it with that Darkseid joke.
Yeah, it came out last year, and it's a crossover with the rebooted DC superhero Girls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we love them.
So. Yeah. So, that was Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans. And that film is so uneven. There are bits of it that are really, really good.
Are really fun. Like, really fun. Like, it's up and down. There's a lot of, like, absolute babble and idiot stuff. But, yeah.
Yeah, so it is absolutely insane. The cast is all good. I think, relatively speaking, they do a decent enough job of making it clear what version of each character is talking, which would be very easy to get wrong.
Yeah.
Because it is.
It's a lot of fun, but you know, like... Mm.
It's stuff like, for example, Scott Mendel plays both versions of Robin, Carrie Payton, Cyborg, I can't pronounce his name, Greg Sipes? I don't know. As Beast Boy, Tara Strong as Raven, and Hayden Walsh as Starfire.
And they all do really good jobs, so...
Oh, yeah. As I said, it's... Maybe you could argue two bits of stunt casting, but both of them do a good job. Weird Al and Rhys Darby.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
So, I mean, it's... I don't think this is going to be in my top 10 of the films we've seen, but it's not far off.
No, well, I don't know about that, but I do think there's a lot to recommend it, and I did enjoy it, like, outside of the bits that I was just like, this is too much, you know, like, you know, because, but I, multiverse stuff is fun because it's fun.
Yeah. So, the next film, the next couple of films we got coming up are certainly not going to, I get the impression, aren't really going to be leaning too much in the fun.
Mm-hmm.
The next two films we're doing are Wonder Woman Bloodlines and Superman Red Son.
Right, interesting.
Then we've got Lego DC Shazam, Magic and Monsters. Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War. And then the... Because I didn't know where else to put it, basically the second kind of stream of DC Showcase films.
Yeah.
Because it's weird. There is a... Like, obviously, we did the episode that was the previous collection of Showcase, because that actually was brought out as a film. And then there's a later one, which is a compilation of everything, every one of the DC Showcase films that came out from Superman, Man of Tomorrow and beyond. But there isn't one for... like this trench of films, and seeing as those films include Sergeant Rock, Death, the Phantom Stranger, and Adam Strange, I actually do want to cover them.
Yeah, no, let's do it. Why not?
Because at least it's kind of interesting. It's interesting characters that we don't get to see.
Yeah, which is always pretty cool. I mean, yeah. We've got quite a lot of good ones coming up. Well, interesting ones, at least.
Yes. And at least we don't have to choose to kill a child on that one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, although in films, we're not talking about real children, so, you know.
Yeah. So, anyway, have you appeared in any other podcasts recently?
Yeah, I just did a Moon Knight one. Into the Night Moon Knight podcast with Ray, issue 21, 22, I don't remember which issue it is. I think 22 maybe. Big issue, big interesting Tigra issue, so if you like your female cat superheroes, that's the one. And I just recorded one for Lost Sons of Krypton on the first four issues of Hellblazer. So unusual mix there, but they had a Patreon request, and you know.
Nice. So I might check that episode out, actually. That sounds very interesting.
Yeah. So whenever Connor puts it up, but we just recorded it this morning, so.
So wait a minute. Have you recorded three podcasts this week?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yes, I'm very tired. Yes.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm still running the Rise of the Robots podcast. We are still, when this comes out, we are still covering Robot Wars Series 5. We're getting towards the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we're at that weird point where there's a lot of shows came out in about 3 years. So we're getting through all that now, and then I think there's a period of time where we basically go from 2003 to 2010 in about 10 episodes. Meanwhile, at the moment, we're still got, I think the period of time that we've covered so far is, the bulk of it has been, we're in 2002 when we're doing this, and the show started coming out in 1997, and that's how, you know.
Wow, but there's so much of it. So
oh, there
really
is
surprising.
So much. It's crazy. It's not until we actually started expanding out and doing, oh, what if we do the other Robot Wars shows and the other BattleBots and all everything else? Oh, we've made a mistake, but we've started now.
Right, yeah.
We, on the other hand, are at the point where we're definitely under a year.
I know. We're gonna do this.
Hooray.
Hooray.
And we can continue that in 2 weeks' time with Wonder Woman Bloodlines.
Yes, excellent.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU Podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.